1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And if you think we're only going to take one verse today, you ought to know me better than that. But our focus will be on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And it'll be a very special word study this morning in order to understand Paul's presentation about himself and about the work of the Lord in his heart and in his life. These are tremendous texts, and this is a subject that thrills me to be able to share with you about the life of the Apostle Paul and his ministry. He starts out, chapter 11, verse 1, "Imitate me." Some of you have the word "follow me." Some have "the examples of me." It's the word "mime," mimetes. He's literally saying, "Become mimes of me, according as I also am a mime of Christ." Some people have explained the word "imitate," or the word "follow," or the word "example," as we must copy Paul in all that he does, that is what he is teaching. It does not mean to copy. It does not mean to put forth human effort to do what Paul says to do. He used the word mimetes for a reason. In the days of the early church, the mime was a person who would go backstage and put on a costume, even paint their face with a white substance, and come out, and they would actually act out their message. They would not speak. They would act out. And sometimes you have seen people do the mimes like that in our day, where they come out and you're looking for their expression, you're looking for their movement to see what message they are bringing forth. Paul is saying, in essence, if I were to present an English phrase that would accurately translate this word and this command to become imitators or mimes of me as I mime Christ, he is saying, as you see the expression of Christ in my life, let that expression be the expression in your life. It's not copying what a human being is doing. Paul is setting himself up as an example. Now catch this, because this is very important. If we're going to see all of the truth of God's Word in perspective, we have to understand this concept today, which is why I'm spending so much time on it. We have our example in Jesus Christ, who's God in the flesh. He has come to communicate to us, to come to die in our place, come to pay the penalty for our sins. And he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But as I read the Bible, I realize that Jesus was without sin. He was God. He has shown me the way. He has shown me what it's going to be like to follow him. But I have no earthly example. From a human standpoint, where is there somebody who is just like me? In the sin of this flesh, in the weakness of this flesh, yet having the living Christ live within me. As I go through the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, yes, I can understand what God's doing in my life by looking at the life of Christ and listening to him teach us and communicate to us. But where is there a human example who somebody who is just like me? Now, you might be thinking and you might respond and say, well, are you trying to say that Paul is like you or Paul is like us? You know, you realize that that's exactly what he was saying? Paul was saying, I have the normal Christian walk. He had a unique ministry, but he had the normal Christian walk. Basically, he was saying, as you look at us, as you see Christ in us, as you see us walk with the Lord, that's what it's like. Check the expression of Christ that's coming through your life and compare it with the expression of Christ in our life and see if it isn't the same. That amazed me when I came to that realization that basically Paul was sharing with others from a unique ministry, yes. But his ministry was so that I might help you understand what is the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the things of Christ. Paul says, I understand them. I want to bring you into this intimate, close fellowship walk with Jesus Christ like I have. Now, I can't tell you that. I can only relay to you, this is what Paul is telling us. We are learning about Jesus Christ in the life of this brother who has left his relationship with the Lord behind for us to learn from. See? So Paul says, become mimes of me, as I also am of Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, become imitators or mimes of God as beloved children. Be expressions of God in your life as His children. But there are three other points. These three points I want to make for you today. We're going to take you on a little trek through the Scriptures. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. To follow the life of Christ in the Apostle Paul and the importance of His ministry to us. Not what I perceive or understand about his writings, but what Paul understood and perceived about the things of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 14. Paul says, I do not write these things shaming you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For even if you should have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you, given birth to you through the gospel. Therefore I encourage you, imitate me. That's a pretty heavy order for Paul to say, I'm saying these things to correct the way you're walking. I want the expression of Christ to be in you as it is in me. Compare your walk. Compare your understanding with the things of Paul. That's a pretty heavy statement to make. I can't tell you that. There is no human being on the face of the earth that can tell any of us, imitate Christ, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can't do that. Paul can. Next, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Turn to the right. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This was Paul's message. He ministered, first of all, for the first reason, is that people would become imitators of Paul. Period. As he is of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, that is speech, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were amongst you on account of you. And you became followers or imitators, mimes of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all of Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Examples. Types. And it is interesting that they became imitators of Paul as he lived his life amongst them. His approach to the things of the Lord was that he would labor. He would do whatever was necessary to bring the gospel to people's hearts. He took the low road, just like Jesus did. He served the Lord out of necessity, out of the moving of God's Spirit, and he lived his life not just by speech, but he said, follow the Lord. Let the expression of the Lord in your life be the same as mine. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. at verse 6. But we command your brethren in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw from every brother who is walking disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. The word follow is the word mimetes. How you ought to mime us, for we were not disorderly amongst you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor, toil night and day, in order that we might not be a burden to you. Not because we did not have the authority, but to make ourselves an example, here's the word tupos, type, example, of how you should follow, that is, imitate or mime us. His message was the same wherever he went. We are here not just to teach you the truths of the Bible. Paul says we are to show you in everyday life how you should approach this earthly life, how you should walk with the Lord. What was interesting about Paul's life that we don't realize is that when he went into a city to minister the gospel, it wasn't like a one-week revival where he preached and left town. He lived with them for weeks and months, sometimes years at a time, to where he would teach them, but then he would also live amongst them and be with them. And they would see Christ in his life. They would see Christ in his heart. And he would say, it's not just teaching. It's not just learning the Bible. It's actually walking with the Lord. And what a blessing that would be to have somebody like Paul there, living amongst them, to say, I am the example. I am an example to you of the expression of Christ. Now, compare that expression of Christ in you or in others, and compare that same expression to see if it is the same. Turn with me to Philippians, please, chapter 3. This is a good one. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. So point number one is that Paul is the example to us of the expression of Christ. Point number two, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, I'll read this as the New King James has it, and I'll give you the literal translation. Brethren, join in following my example. That whole phrase, join in following my example, is literally translated, become imitators with me. It's mimetes. Become imitators with me. It's a command. Secondly, and note, literally the Greek word skopos, the word scope for this. Listen to this. Paul is saying, become imitators with me and scope out those who are walking this way as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Here's Paul saying, as you see Christ express himself in my life, whether it's through preaching or whether it's through living, become imitators or expressions of Christ with me, as you have us as an example. But then he says, secondly, scope out those who represent the things of Christ. Scope out those who are walking in this way, and if anybody is not walking this way, it's not the truth. He calls them enemies of the cross of Christ. So I'm to take Paul's teachings. It's not just doctrinal teachings. It's his whole attitude. It's his whole frame of mind. For instance, in Corinth, here's an example. In Corinth, Paul comes through, and in order to minister the gospel free of charge to them, he made tents because he did not want to be a burden to them, just like he said to the Christians in Thessalonica. And so he ministered the gospel free of charge. But then when he left town, people who called themselves super apostles came into town, and they said, Paul? Well, he's an apostle, but we're super apostles. He had the early revelation of the beginnings of Christ. We can take you now into Christian maturity. And so the people would give them their money. And they became rich, and they became an expression of success and wealth and happiness. But they said, Paul, this guy's always in trouble. In every town he goes in, he suffers at the hands of the people. And Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians. But his second letter, he writes back to them. He says, we worked toiling with our hands so that we would not be an offense to you, but forgive me for this wrong. Because the super apostles come into town, you give them all your money. And they're teaching false doctrine, and they're pointing at Paul saying, look at this guy. He's always in prison. He's always floating around out in the ocean. He's always getting beat up and dragged out of the city. That's not success. And so they would present their whole standard of success, and they would sway the people. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapters 12 presented, first of all, in chapter 11, he says, first of all, I'm going to boast in my physical infirmities. And he listed all of the things that he had to suffer for Christ. He says, compare that to the super apostles. How many of them suffer for the sake of Christ? And then secondly, in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he presents his spiritual affliction. Because he was caught up into the third heaven, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet his flesh. So he says, I suffer for spiritual revelation, so that my flesh will not rise up in pride. I have to suffer. Every time the Lord reveals truth to us, there must be trials and tribulations to equal that revelation, because our flesh has to be kept under. Paul says, I suffer circumstantially. I suffer for God using me spiritually and revealing His truth to me. Compare that to the super apostles. Well, they were doing just the opposite. They were standing over here saying, look at Paul. Every ship he's on, it sinks. Every town he comes into, he's beaten or thrown into prison. He causes riots. He causes trouble everywhere he goes. How can his ministry be of the Lord? And yet here's Paul presenting himself as saying, do you see the expression of Christ in me? That's the Christian walk. Scope out those. Now, in our limited function and understanding with spiritual things, this is a great tool for us. Because when someone takes Paul's writings and they say, here's what Paul meant. We take the life of the Apostle Paul, we take the life that he lived and the things that he taught, we take the expression of Christ in his life, and we just put that right over the person. Is this guy taking me down the same road that Paul went? You see, does this person have the same expression of the Holy Spirit in him that Paul did? What's his attitude about this earthly life and the approach to this earthly life? Is it the same as Paul's? Are they ministers who say, God wants you to be perfectly wealthy and healthy and happy? And they're always walking around with a smile on their face because everything's wonderful when you're in the Spirit. Paul didn't do that. Paul was real. He was in pain. He suffered illness. He suffered sickness. And the blessing and ministry of it was, in spite of who he was, what his circumstances were, and what physical health problems he had to suffer through, he kept going on with the Lord. That's power. Power is not when you get rid of all the hardships of life. Power is when you walk in God's Spirit, obedient to Jesus Christ in the midst of all the hardships. We're in a culture that was much like Paul's day, only more so, because our culture is to present happiness for the flesh and the wealth and riches according to our capitalistic system. And it only makes sense. The problem is, it doesn't match up with Paul's teachings, and it doesn't match up with Paul's life. And he is presenting himself as the normal Christian life. So the blessing is that no matter who you listen to, or even if you're by yourself studying the Word of God, not only do we have the teachings of Paul, we have the life of Paul, we have his attitude, we have his whole approach to every issue and area of life in his writings. And that's why his writings are at the beginning of the teaching section of the New Testament. From Romans on, it's all Paul's writings. Then after Paul, there's James and Peter and John. All of their writings come after Paul's writings. The reason his writings are at the front is because to him it was revealed the mystery of Christ, and to him God appointed him to be the expression of Christ and what it's like to walk with the Lord. But just to think that I can have the same relationship with the Lord as Paul did. Not his ministry, but his relationship. And that was the motive behind Paul's teaching. He wanted to see people know the Lord, like he did. Who can stand up and say, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ"? See? As you see the expression of Christ in my life, let that be the expression of Christ in your life. How many people actually come up to you and say, I just want to see the expression of Christ in your life in its fullness? And that was the motive behind Paul's teaching. It's not just doctrine, it's actually truth and life. One last scripture, Galatians chapter 1. Turn to the left to Galatians chapter 1. So not only is Paul the example of what it's like to walk with the Lord, not only did he want all to become imitators with him of Christ, expressions with him of Christ, but he also secondly said, scope everybody out. Who's walking with the Lord like we are? As you have us as an example. I have an example of what it's like to walk with the Lord. I also have an example of what the truth is, and this narrows it down even further. Galatians chapter 1, at verse 6, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon turning away from the one who has called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another." The word "another" means it's not of the same kind. It might be out of the Bible, but it's not the same gospel. "But there are some who are troubling you and who are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we," now this is a very humble presentation, "even if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you contrary to what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." That narrows it down. If anybody preaches a gospel that is different than what Paul preached, even if Paul comes back himself and changes his gospel and preaches something that God did not originally give him, he includes himself and he includes angels. Interesting that a lot of occultic groups have been formed based on personal revelations from angels. One group, the leader received a revelation from the angel Moroni, which I think all of these things are very interesting, because Moroni is the dative case form of the word moron, and which means fool. And so people make a big deal, you know. The angel, I received revelation from the angel Moroni, and it's supposed to have some kind of special religious mystical substance to it. But if you learn what the name meant, it would just break that whole thing right open. But even if an angel comes and preaches a gospel to you other than contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. The word "accursed" means separated from Christ throughout eternity. So he's including himself. Then he goes on to say, as we have said before, verse 9, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. So again, anybody that preaches other than the gospel which Paul preached, they are to be accursed. That's a very powerful, authoritative statement to make. Now, because of our inability to see spiritually and to understand spiritually, because we are dumb sheep, we don't know our way, the Lord has to teach us and show us every step of the way. In reality, He has presented something to us so simple and such a blessing. I've got Romans through Philemon. If you want to include Hebrews to be from Paul, that's fine. I've got Romans through Philemon of Paul's writings. You come to me, I'll choose an example. If you were to come to me and say, do you know that you're not saved unless you can speak in tongues? Oh, really? Hold that thought right there. Did Paul teach that? Anywhere. No, he didn't. When you get off coming up, well, this scripture indicates... No. See, we can't go there. You understand? That's too much leeway. God has presented it and narrowed it down to be so exact and so specific, even in the original language, to even narrow it down even more. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm listening for the expression of Christ. I'm listening for the Word of God. And Paul says, scope them out. If the expression isn't the same expression that has come through us, and if it's not the same gospel, if they're not teaching and preaching the same thing that we have, let them be accursed. Whoa. Sure you've been called to preach the gospel? You've got to be careful. I shared this with you before, but here is the blessing of the truth of the Word of God from a ministry, even a sharing with other people standpoint. There's only one reason, well actually there's two reasons why I'm standing up here today. Number one, Paul is dead. He's gone to be with the Lord. And this is his letter. These are his writings. And he's not here. Secondly, even if he were on the face of the earth, he can't be everywhere on Sunday morning. Just like he sent Timothy out, just like he sent these different people out with his letters, they would represent him when they were there. So it is for all of those who are called to ministry. Every believer that shares out of the Word of God has been called of God, first of all, to understand it as the writer intended it to be, and secondly, to represent the truth that was given to that writer. Because they can't be there, and God's raised up other physical vessels to bring the same message. It hasn't changed. And the reason I'm taking the time to show you these scriptures this morning, I'm showing you that this is very authoritative when you say, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And if anybody else is walking differently than I am, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. If I were to tell you that this morning, you'd throw me out. But that's very authoritative for somebody to say. And for somebody to say, if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which we have preached, let them be separated from Christ throughout eternity. Whoa. If I were to tell you that, what would you think of me if I told you, if anybody disagrees with me, let them be accursed? You'd say, I think you've gone too far. But Paul hasn't. Do you understand the authority here? Do you understand how God has designed the Bible to put all of Paul's teachings right there at the front? And if you will read from Hebrews on, read from John and Peter and James and Judas and John, if you were to read the rest of those letters, they all fit in with what Paul said. They don't contradict anything. And that's why Paul's letters are put at the front. When someone tells me, God has revealed to me, oh yeah, really? Okay, I must be just like the Bereans. I'll gladly receive anything that anybody has to say. I'm not closed-minded to say that I'm not wrong. I am wrong. So I'm open to anything God wants to say through His Word or by His Spirit, etc. So I will gladly receive any word anybody says, but I reserve the right and the responsibility to search the Scriptures to see if it's true. And Paul's my man. You know? He's the brother that God has raised up to say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and He is my Savior. Yes, He did walk the face of the earth and show me what it's going to be like to follow Him. Yes, He did give me His teachings and show me His ways. But God has also raised up a brother to say, I'm just like you, weak in the flesh, sin in the flesh, but I want you to be mimes with me and mimes of me, to where I am an example of what it's like to walk with the Lord. Scope out those as you see walking this way. And if they're not walking this way, and there's no leeway with Paul, if you're not walking and preaching and presenting the gospel that Paul preached and his life, walking the way he walked, he says you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. And that's the essence of the whole thing, is get rid of the cross. No suffering, no hardship, no trials. That's what our culture and our lifestyle is all about. People change the message of the gospel to make people more comfortable. And for the flesh, it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to grow spiritually, but as we talked about in the first hour, we will also be dying while we're growing spiritually. We will be dying in the flesh. The inner man is being renewed day by day while the outward man is dying daily. The Lord is, in His faithfulness, has His disciplinary trials and tribulations to keep me under, to keep me disciplined in His love so that my flesh doesn't get out of control, so that spiritually I can grow, so I can turn inward into the inner man where Christ dwells. And the more I grow spiritually, the heavier the trials are going to be. Because as Paul was caught up into the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12, and saw revelations that could not even be expressed here on the earth in human words, he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet his flesh. That's part of the walk with the Lord. It is necessary that we submit to God's humbling process, His breaking process, so that we can come to the end of ourselves, so that we can run out of our own strength and our own human resources and look to Jesus as our strength and as our guide, our everything, because He said, without me, you cannot do one thing. Paul made the statement, and that's why we have centered on that this morning. Paul has made the statement. It's important to understand what it means to imitate. It does not mean to copy. It does not mean whatever you see me do, you do. It means as you see the expression in my life, let the same expression, let this become the expression of Christ in you. As God has left Paul as an example. Not only as an example of what it's like to walk with the Lord and with the frame of mind and attitude towards this earthly life, but also the gospel. Believe it or not, God has narrowed it down for us so that there is no leeway, because He knows we are susceptible to deception and to false teaching. And He's narrowed it down to say, just take what you hear, take what you think you understand, and compare it to what Paul is teaching and what he is preaching. Did he teach that? Did Paul preach that? Well, we have new revelation today. In fact, there's a church in town a few years back that told its congregation, because they were getting confused, they spent all their time in the Gospels, and they would explain the teachings of Jesus, but people would come up afterward and say, but Paul says this here, or Peter says this here, And it seems to be the opposite of what you're saying Jesus meant by this over here. So the church came out with a decree. And they actually used 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as an example because Paul prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh for him to be delivered from it. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And these people understand that what God was saying is, my grace is sufficient for you to be healed if you want to claim it, which is not what it means. But Paul chose not to. So he didn't understand about healing, so don't listen to him. They came up with a decree. Stay away from Paul's writings. Stay away from all the teaching in the New Testament. Just stick with the Gospels. Because Paul and those of the early church did not understand the things of Christ. That's a terrible thing. It's just the opposite of what the Bible is saying. You'll get confused if you read Paul. And if you listen to us, because he's going to be saying something different than we are. God has limited it for us, narrowed it down, because he knows our inability to understand spiritual things. Jesus has come to die for our sins, and Jesus has raised up brothers who have walked with the Lord before us to show us what it's like to walk with the Lord, to minister the things of Christ, and then they shut the door. Anything beyond this is not of the Lord. It narrows things down, doesn't it? And it's very helpful to us. Because we can scope out. We can take people and put them right over Paul's life. We can take people and put it right over Paul's teaching. And to Paul, anything other than what he taught is an enemy of the cross of Christ, and he says, let him be accursed. That's pretty serious. But that's how serious it is when you mess with God. This book is not a religious handbook. This is actually the inspiration of God that he has left in written form to describe and represent himself. When you change this, you change who God is. And that's where we get into trouble. See? It is not a textbook. It represents God expressing himself to the human race through inspiration of writings. And when you change it, you change who God is. See? So I feel insecure, spiritually insecure. I feel lost. I feel like, how do I know if I'm hearing the truth or not? What God has said here. If you have any question, read Paul's writings. Did he teach that? What did he say about that subject, see? And what did the other brothers say after him in the rest of the New Testament? It's all going to say the same thing. So it's a blessing God has given us. So I wanted to stop today and take this one verse to show you that it is our responsibility and it is our commission to study what Paul said and what he taught. Not what Bill says, what Bill teaches. A teacher can only give information. And hopefully, when we stand before the Lord, Paul won't be waiting for me at the pearly gates with his arms folded, and after I walk in, he say, "Climb over there." You took my letter and shared with the people your understanding. It's not what it's for. It's an awesome responsibility, and yet the fact that we are so safe, and God is so faithful to give us something so exact that we think is very confusing, but it's not. It's only confusing because we listen to people and read the Bible and we just don't see that the Bible is saying that. So we get all confused because this is supposed to be of the Holy Spirit and this is supposed to be of the Holy Spirit. And it just gets all meshed together. We get back to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Gladly receive the Word, but search the Scriptures to see if it's true before you embrace it as the truth. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you have not left us as orphans. that you have sent your Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to lead us and to guide us and to minister to us. You have not left us on our own. You've also given us your Word, your inspired Word, that your Spirit takes, because we do need something tangible. We do need something we can see, because we are in this flesh and spiritual things are difficult for us because of sin. Lord, help us to see that by your Spirit you have narrowed down the exactness of the truth of your Word. Help us not to be affected by the deception of spiritual forces that are opposed to the Word of God and preach another gospel, which is really not another. Help us to rely on your Spirit and your Word to guide us every step of the way to understand your truth. And we know why Satan attacks your truth. Is because you have said, "You shall come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's the truth that sets us free. So Satan attacks the truth, gets us into mystical, emotional experiences with Scripture behind it, but it's really not the Spirit of God. We're so thankful this morning that your faithfulness and your provision for us is all that we need. We have everything that we need. Help us to focus on Christ in the inner man, in the inner person. Help us to focus and even be disciplined and have our understanding narrowed by the Word of God, that we might experience this freedom that comes with the truth. Again, we thank you for all that you are to us and all that you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.